Good evening. So happy to have you here. May we always again remember why we are gathered here once again. We're here to worship God the Father who planned all our salvation, God the Son who paid for our salvation in full, and God the Holy Spirit who brings this wonderful news through word and sacrament to our hearts and says, see, this belongs to you as well. We also welcome our online worshipers and our radio listeners today as well. So let us begin our worship today with our opening hymn, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. That is hymn 409. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Let us now confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent us his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading today is recorded here in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And the Lord promised a solution for the bite of the venomous snakes. That solution perhaps seemed nonsensical, yet all those who trusted God's promise lived. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The word of the Lord. We continue with the psalm of the day. Our second reading for tonight is recorded here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and this will also serve as today's sermon text. "As for you, You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. Our gospel lesson for today is recorded here in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And Christ is the solution to sin. Whoever believes in Christ shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. That is hymn number 570, God Loved the World So That He Gave.
Thank you.
stand. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, where we again read verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. You may be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there once was this little boy who was watching his mom in the kitchen preparing the Easter ham. And he said, Mom, why do you always cut the ends off the ham before you put it in the pan and before you put it in the oven? And she goes, I don't know, that's just what my mom did. And you can go ask Grandma now. Grandma's right there too. And Grandma, why did you always cut off the ends of the ham, you know, before you put it in the pan and then put it in the oven? And Grandma said, well, you know what? That's just what my mom always did. But great-grandma's here. You can go ask her. Goes over to great-grandma who's sitting in the rocker, and he goes, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham before you put it in the pan and put it in the oven? And the great-grandmother says, because I had to cut the ends off to have it fit in my pan. So all that wasted ham over generations, right? Because the pan was too small. So every generation kept cutting off the ends of the ham. They didn't even know why they were doing it, but they just did it. I can remember, and I still do this, I still brush my teeth with warm water. You know, it's always on the left-hand side, because for 10 years when I was out in Vermont, our bathroom sink, it always would leak on the cold side. We didn't have a budget to really fix that faucet, so for 10 years I always turned the hot water on, and today I still use the hot water. My whole point of all this, and some of you are saying, why are you talking about, you know, pans for ham and brushing your teeth and everything, is the whole point is this what we're doing here right now? Do you even know why you're here? Are you just kind of going through the motions? This is just because what we do. This is where my parents came. This is where my grandparents came. This is where, for some of you, my great-grandparents came. This is what we do. I'm religious because my parents were religious. And they'll say because their parents were religious. And they'll say because their parents were religious. So therefore, I am here. But is this really the reason you're here? If so, you're wasting your time. Could it be the possibility that you're just feeding the appetite of your opinio legis? And that opinio legis is the Latin term, the opinion of the law, that's in all of us, saying, I have to do something for my salvation. That be the reason why you are here today? Just to kind of get maybe that guilty conscience off your back for a little bit. I did church this last week. I'm good. I'm about a lot better than a lot of other people and everything. Hopefully not. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of my pet peeves is when I hear people say, well, I'm religious too. I'm going, oh, cool, religious. Religious for what? Religious for baking cookies? Religious for working out? Religious of what? Who cares if you're religious? And when I ask them, you know, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, I'm religious. Do you know that there's going to be a lot of religious people in this world that are not going to be standing in heaven one day? Just look at the Athenians. I'm going to read this section from the book of Acts. The Athenians were very religious people, but they didn't know what the object of their religion was. Let me just read this. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with them, to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him into the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching that you are presenting?" Because it's really different than what they had been accustomed to. "You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So what, you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. Being religious doesn't matter anything unless you know the object of your religion." You know, I'll tell you the absolute truth, I don't even like the theme of this sermon series, Rethinking Religion, because I don't consider Christianity just another religion. You know, why would God send us his only son if there are so many other religions that you could get to the same place? Why would God send us his only son who would be crucified on the cross if there was just another religion out there to get you to heaven? You know, what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, "I am a way." Thankfully, he says, "I am the way." He doesn't say, "I am a truth." He says, "I am the truth." He doesn't say, "I am a life." But he says, "I am the life." You see that there's only like really two religions in this whole world. And the two religions, the one camp, and I'd say the majority of the world finds themselves in this camp. It's more or less work righteousness. We can go across, let's say, Japan, Shintoism in Japan, Buddhism in China. We can go to Islam and Roman Catholicism. We can go into Mormonism. We can go to Jehovah's Witnesses. We can go to most all of TV evangelists. They're all in this camp. They always say, "You can, you can, you can. If you do this and do this and do this and do this." And that's what their camp says. It's all up to you. But the camp that we are in right now is the camp of saying, "You can't do it at all, but he did it for you." That is the biggest difference. I don't have to depend on my salvation with what I'm doing. I depend my whole salvation on what he has already done. And that's really the good news. If you go into the doctor and you have cancer, what do you want to hear from your doctor? We got it all. Or do you want to hear, or rather hear something like this, "We got most of it"? You want to hear, "We got it all." Okay, and that's what God gives to us in his word. He says, "I have taken care of it all. It's all done. It is all finished. It is all completed. By my wounds, you have been healed." He doesn't say, "I did most of it, and now you have to finish it." You know, how could we live our life and have it to the full if we'd still be working out our salvation? Again, he did it all. We can't choose to be saved. We can't accept him at all. And there's a lot of people say, "I accepted him. I chose him." You can't choose. You can't accept, because why? We are dead. For as our text tells us, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Can a dead person do anything? Can a dead person say, "Do you accept Jesus Christ?" It's going to be silent. "Do you choose Jesus Christ?" No. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You can't do anything. But here comes the gospel. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." It's all because of him that we are saved. He is the one who made us alive. I can remember The first couple of years I was here as a pastor, and I don't know if some of you remember Mr. Kukiet. Drew Kukiet was our eighth grade teacher and our athletic director, and he was also a Viking fan. And for a children's chapel that one Friday, I had him lie down like this. I said, "You have to play dead." So he couldn't move, he couldn't blink, he couldn't flinch, he couldn't do anything. You know, so the first thing I do is I put a Brett Favre jersey over him. He can't flinch, he can't do anything. He had to have that over him all the time. I put a Packer hat on him. He couldn't flinch, he couldn't do it because he was dead. And then I had a pitcher of water about ready, you know, to pour it on him. And all the kids wanted me to do that. But again, he just laid there. He couldn't do anything because he was dead. And that's how we are. We can't do anything because we are spiritually dead. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So again, we are born in this world spiritually dead. So how does God make us alive? As Mr. Cook was lying there, I kind of went like this, and these are the defibrillators that brought us life, okay? God's word, right, and the sacraments. This is my private communion. A defibrillator, there he is, he's dead. And I had to shock him, you know, then he had to flinch back and forth. But I'm going, that is how God makes us alive. He's made us alive to show us our condition. Though our sins are great, his grace is greater. He made us alive through the word and sacraments. Now, I know that all of you know that one of my favorite parts of Scripture that I say a lot of times up here is Galatians 5:1, where it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let your hearts be burned again by a yoke of slavery." We have been set free, you know, but don't stand firm because you don't want to put your other foot in work righteousness, because you know what? If you do that, you are no longer saved. And also, I make sure that you're standing firm and seeing where your salvation depends. It doesn't depend on what I do or what I'm going to do. It's because what he has already done for me. Because if you have your one foot in Christ and your other foot saying, "Well, I still have to do a little," you're gone. Because in Galatians chapter 5, in verses 2 and 4, it says this. It says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised," or going along with the law, like, okay, Christ did this, but you also have to do this. If you do this, he says, "Christ will be of no value to you at all." Christ is valueless if you start depending on what you do, just for one little part. He's done it all. But if you start, again, saying, you know, Christ did most of it, and, well, I have to do a little bit more. If you do this, what happens? It says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law and how you live have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." That's how important it is. Our salvation is so much different than we hear from other church bodies or all the different religions of the world. It's not about you. It's about him and what he did for you. That's why it's called the good news. We don't have to question our salvation. Well, you know, do I still have to do a little bit? No, it's all been done through him. And we hear about someone who was very religious in our gospel lesson for today as well. Remember Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee. And again, he is depending on his salvation by his works. As long as he is better than most people, he thought he was okay with God. Until the day that he actually meets God in the flesh, when he has this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus has the same conversation with all of us today, too. As Jesus locks his eyes with Nicodemus, and he locks his eyes with our eyes, he says this, "For God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that he gave his one and only Son," and Nicodemus has seen his only Son, "that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You know, this last week, And I can remember some of my professors always say, if you ever get an opportunity, you should visit another church that's not Wells, just to see what else is going on out there. But with the internet, we can go anywhere we want. And I did that this last week. I'm going to ask all of you maybe to look into a different church body once and just listen to their sermon. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm so thankful for what we do have here. Because you're going to hear so much in so many other places of worship. It's all going to be talking about you, and you can, you can, you can. And if you do this, and if you do this, and you do this. But here, you hear, you can't do it. But Jesus did it for us. I know you know this, I say it all the time. Hopefully you're not here trying to make peace with God. We can't. But hopefully all of you are here again today, knowing that God has made peace with us forever. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, how great is your love for us. You willingly sent your beloved Son to a world of sinful rebels. The innocent one came to serve the guilty, but his own people rejected him, and his enemies tortured him and put him to death. Because you did not withhold your one and only Son, but let him take our guilt on himself to set us free, we praise your holy name. Dear Son of God, our brother, how great is your love for us. You allowed yourself to be condemned so that we could be declared not guilty. Fill our hearts with the same self-sacrificing love that you showed us. You allow no suffering, no fear, and no doubt to swerve you from your path to Calvary. Give us the same single-minded dedication and unshakable commitment as we daily take up our cross and follow you. Dear Holy Spirit, how great is your love for us. By word and sacrament, you have warmed and transformed our foolish and stubborn hearts, making us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus and receptive to his gospel of forgiveness. Hold his cross before our eyes that we may dedicate our lives to him who died for us. Make us strong in the hour of temptation, and lead us to love and serve our neighbor as unselfishly as Christ did for us. And O Lord God, Lord of life and death, we thank you for all the mercies with which you bless our fellow believers, David Bauman and Lois Schuchneck, now fallen asleep. We thank you especially for having brought them to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort their families and all who mourn their deaths with your precious promises, and cheer them with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. In your name we pray this. Amen. We'll continue tonight's offering. And again, if you're visiting here today, you just fill out the golden side. You can put that in the offering basket. And for all those who are already members here, you can just fill out the black side. You can put those also in the offerings. Thank you.
Thank you.
continue with our next hymn, By Grace I'm Saved. That is hymn number 575. Please stand for our closing prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, which is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. That is hymn number 811, verses 1 and 2. Again, good evening to all of you today. And just a reminder, tomorrow, if you'd like to come back, we have the Cayley Lutheran Orchestra that will be also playing for the 8 o'clock and 10:30 services as well, and I think something in between. So again, just to kind of get this whole St. Patrick's Week started off in the right way, I guess. But then if you just look at your yellow pages, I guess I just want to point out one thing, that starting point. That's starting, and we're going to have it on Tuesdays from 2 to 3 o'clock, and that's usually because a lot of families come here to pick up their kids, so try to do it that way, from 2 to 3 on Tuesdays, and then on Wednesdays, 5:30 to 6:30. But again, if this doesn't work for you those times, by all means, just let me know, because I have, you know, two other individuals and two other couples that I'm taking through it at different times, so I definitely have a flexible schedule, and I can meet you at your own convenience. It's that important, and it's really neat to see those people that are coming into God's Word and starting point and hearing that. I've never heard, you know, someone say it like that, or you know, just like with the Athenians. You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, you know, where salvation isn't up to me. It's been done for me. That's really good news, and to see God's Word work. So again, just an opportunity to study God's Word and to invite your family and friends, and again, maybe you know all the answers already, but again, say, hey, you want to come to Starting Point with me? Most people will come with someone that they know, or you could even be even bolder and say, you know, can you do something for me? And they'll probably say, yes, what do you need? Can you come with me to Starting Point? And again, I, you know, just let the Word do its work as well. But then also, as you go home tonight, we have this Ford Emmanuel. It's a worship relocation guide. So again, after Easter, we're not going to be worshiping here. We'll be worshiping in the school commons. And there's like 4 pages of all the details, all the questions that people have had, and hopefully all the answers. And if you still have a question, don't call me. I probably wouldn't know. It's probably Pastor Tiefel or Pastor Dorn and everything. And then also, just remember, Holy Week is coming right around, and we have little postcards. And again, you know, with a little invitation, you know, just bring those to your neighbors or your friends or even a family member and everything. Say, hey, these are our worship times and everything though too. So please do that, and let God, all we can do is plant the Word and water it, but God promises that He'll make it grow. Well, with that said, all of you have a great rest of the week, and we hope to see you on Wednesday for our midweek Lenten service as well. And how about we take this time to greet someone who's sitting next to us?